Before you come to service tonight, you should have been praying to God. If you really wanted something, that's the way it goes. Before you come to service, you pray and you talk to Him. You pray for your pastors. Yeah. You know, you pray that God puts something on their heart, that the Holy Spirit will move through them during the service. And you become the Word. Every day it becomes, and get excited about the Word. You know, that excitement, the same excitement that you had when you were saved, when the first time you met Jesus. Keep that excitement with you all the way through your walk with Jesus. And if somewhere through there you lose it, you need to stop everything you're doing and find that excitement. Because that excitement is what's going to push you through. It's going to give you the drive to keep pushing, to keep pushing. In those times where you're lonely, in those times where you're sad, in those times where you can't motivate yourself, remember what God did for you. Make small altars to remember what God has done for you. It's so important. That excitement, it pushes you through them hard times. And in order to receive from the Lord, you've got to be excited about Him. You've got to be expecting. Amen? What I've learned with my walk with the Lord is you're in complete control of your anointing. You're in complete control of your blessings. You're in complete control of your life, your power. You have a very real power that's inside of you guys. And but there's a place you got to go to get it, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But you're in control of that. Man, you're in control. Kathy, you got power. Brother Angelo, you got power. We all were born with a portion of power. But there's a way to tap into that. We didn't come to this world with nothing. God gave us a whole lot of stuff, but He said you got to work for it. You know, He gave it to you, but you've got to follow a process to get it. And I'm fixing to talk a little bit about that tonight. I've got two subjects I want to talk about tonight. You know, prayer and the secret place. And that's what I named my message was Prayer in the Secret Place. I was going to name it, Why Is Their Coffee Better Than Mine? You know? Because, sometimes that's the way it is, though. You know what I mean? Ever been with a friend or something, and you took a drink of their coffee, and you thought, man, what do you got in that? You know what I mean? And you get to order you a cup of coffee, you can't ever remember what they said. You know? So I'm in the kitchen the other day, and I'm making a cup of coffee, and I'm doing Bible study. And I opened the cabinet, and I found some of that cocoa milk, that cocoa milk y'all gave, coconut milk. And I thought, man, this will be good in my coffee. And so I put it in my coffee, and it was actually pretty good. And it reminded me of some coffee that I got in Fort Smith one time on Garrison. I paid $10 for that cup of coffee. And it had the signature taste, though. That coconut milk had a sweet signature taste. Behind everything else that I put in that coffee, you could still taste the coconut milk. You know, and I thought, man, I'm going to name this message, Why Is Their Coffee Better Than Mine? Because a lot of times, when you look at the promises in the Bible, and you look at our ancestors, the way they talk about God's goodness, and His abundance, and the way that it is in their lives, and all the power they've seen, and then you look and you take them same promises, and you look at your life, it doesn't match up. You're like, Father, why are my ancestors' coffee better than mine? You know, why are the power better in their life than it is mine? You know, because it sounds good, them promises are good, but when you look at your life, man, if one of them promises was to come undone in your life, you would explode. But them promises, man, I'm going to read a few of them tonight, and you just weigh your own heart and see if they're really in your life the way they should be. And if they're not, let's figure out how to get them there. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to You tonight, and I just welcome the Holy Spirit into this place, Father God. You know who come expecting. You know that I came prepared. We anointed this message before we came, and I believe that You're here tonight, and I believe that You're moving. I believe that You're moving in the hearts of the congregation. I believe that there's people out here that want to be touched, and they want these promises to come undone in their life, Father God. I think they want to receive tonight from You, Father God. So I'm going to give the service to You, and You move through me, Father God, like Your vessel. You move through me, Father God, like a new drink, like a new wine. Father God, move through me, and let's bless the people. Weigh their hearts tonight, Father God. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Praise God. I'm just going to read all the way through it here. For this cause, I bow my knees. Apostle Paul is praying for his friends, and this is what he's praying. He's on his knees. So it must be serious. He's in a position of honor. He's in a position. He's down on his knees. He's saying, for this, and he's talking to his friends in this letter. He's writing a letter to his friends and telling them, this is what I'm praying for you. For this cause, I bow my knees, and I'm in the Old Testament. I'm in the King James Version Bible. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Now you got to listen. With might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By what? Everybody, faith. By faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, and what is the depth and height, and how to know the love of Christ, which passes the knowledge, that passes our knowledge, that everything we know, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceed abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amen. You know, so you take some of this promise and it doesn't look, you know, you match that to your life and you go, man, it doesn't seem like that is how my life is, you know, abundantly above all the things I can ask or think. He's doing that in my life. That doesn't go with my life the way things are looking. You know, but turn with me to, you don't have to turn, but hold on, I'm getting off a little bit here. The reason that is, there's two reasons I believe that is. And one of the reasons is that we have got away from patience and process. And what it is to pray. We are in a culture that, you know, instead of us serving it, it serves us. This whole generation, everything around us serves us, and we're getting used to being served. Whatever we want, fast food, we want something to eat, we go to the fast food. We got Google, we need anything, we look up in Google. You want something to eat, you go to the vending machine, pop a few coins in, bada boom, bada bang. And that's what everything is. This culture is serving us, and it's making us to where we're getting away from patience in the process. And those things are good, but you know they're even teaching the kids to be on a hoverboard. You know what I mean? We ain't got to walk no more. You know, we don't even got to walk. You know what I mean? But those, I'm not saying those things are bad, but when we apply them to our prayer and our relationship with God, they are bad. You know, we got to have some kind of balance there. And in Genesis 18, verse 6, you can turn there if you want. Abraham is telling his wife Sarah, he says, he's got three friends over, and he says, prepare some bread and go out and get a donkey. Go out and find a donkey, prepare some bread, and do it quickly. He says, do this quickly. We wouldn't look at that like something quick that we're doing. Go prepare some bread. Go get some flour. Prepare some bread. And go pick a donkey out or go pick a goat out. Go pick a goat out, slaughter it, and get it ready quickly. He says, hasten. Quickly. You know, quickly do that. We're hungry. Feed me and my three buddies. That's not something we would look at quickly. You know, but the point I'm trying to make is the reason that the power is so good for them is that they understood process. Their whole culture was process. They understood prayer. So they applied that to their relationship with God. They didn't run through prayer very quick. You know what I mean? It even teaches us that Jesus, when he went to pray, he often drew away from everybody. And he went to a deserted place to pray. You know, so prayer it's got power, but you've got to know how to pray. You've got to take it serious. You know, you got to take prayer serious. It doesn't happen just, you know, overnight. You got to stay with it. If it doesn't happen, you got to believe in your heart and stay with it until it does happen. I had a bump on my back, and I was praying. I was like, God, I don't know what this is, but I want it gone. You know, I said, my faith is good. I said, I talk to you every day. No, I don't miss a day talking to God. I talk to him every day. I said, why isn't this gone yet? And I felt in the spirit, said, because you pray on Monday and you don't pray again till Friday. You know, he said, you want it gone, Dwayne? He said, pray it gone. He said, if you're serious and you want it gone, he said, pray three times a day that it's gone. And I did have a, you heard me say, I did have a knot on my back. Well, it ain't there no more. You know, because I stayed on it. I stayed on it consistently. I listened to what he said, and that's what it takes, guys. And that's why what Paul is trying to teach us here. I'm going to go through these verses, and I'm going to break them down one at a time. But what he's praying is that you can get this, that you can get the power of prayer, that you can get one-on-one with God, and you can experience what he's experiencing. Amen? Take a look at Deuteronomy 4:29 with me. You can turn there if you want. If not, you don't have to. I'm going to jump a few places just for reference. It says, you seek the Lord God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. Now it says that the exact same thing in Jeremiah 29:13. You seek the Lord your God. You will seek him, and you will find him. That, don't that sound like something out of a treasure book or something? Like some kind of treasure quest? That's what it is. Life wasn't supposed to be boring. You ever felt like, what's my purpose? What's my calling? Why are we here? It's all right here. But if you don't have the energy to seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, that's not something done quick. That's not a quickie. That's something that takes time. That's something that takes you to meditate on. And when you seek it with all your heart and all your soul, that's every day. You ever seeked anything with all your heart, with all your soul? When you got into a relationship, when you were crushing on somebody maybe. You know, or when you really wanted something real bad, you know, you text them every night. You made sure you sent them roses. You made sure you done all this little stuff. And I bet you didn't miss a day that went. You might have not called them or something, but you thought about them. You thought about them every day. You know, that you're going to have to do that times 10 with God. This is if you want something to happen. This is if you want God to come into your life and change you completely and show you the power that you got. This is no joking around power. It's the real deal power that you move the world around with that changes people. It's changed me, and I'm in the middle of it, is why I'm excited. And it's very neat. And I'm asking God tonight and every night for the last 5 years, what are we doing, God? What are we doing today? I'm on my, let's go. What are we doing? Is today going to be the day, God? Is today going to, he said, is your time's coming, son. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's all he keeps telling me. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. But he showed me enough to know that he's serious and the power is very real. And it testifies for itself. Look at us. Look at the sun. Look at the things around us. Seek him with all your heart and all your soul, and he will show you something that you've never seen before. Amen. But that's why a lot of the promises, you know, don't match up to our lives, guys, because we're not doing this. You know, a lot of us might think we're doing this because we pray two or three times a week or we pray once a day, but that's not it. That's not seeking God with all your heart. You build a relationship with God and you love him and he becomes you and you become him. He lives inside of you. You understand? A lot of people can't get that or grasp that, but he lives on the inside of you, speaks to you from inside, walks with you, talks with you, teaches you. He is inside of you and it becomes you. And that's how he's going to raise you to eternal life. He gets to know you. Amen. And I'm not saying it's easy either. The things that I'm saying is physically challenging. You know, it's mentally challenging to force yourself away to prayer when you haven't seen real amazing things done. That stuff's not easy. That's why nobody's doing it. But the people that are doing it, they're either talking like me, walking like me, or they're doing something great in life after they've done it several years. I'm telling you, it's not by chance. It's like the first thought that comes to your head is, well, that don't include me because I'm this type of person, or that probably would, I'd be out of that group. No, everybody's included on this group. It don't matter who you are, where you come from. All you got to do is start talking to him tonight and never stop. That day that you stop, he's paying attention from day one. from day one. I don't care if you feel connected to him in your heart or your mind. He's paying attention to see if you will get past that hump of wanting to stop. If you will ever get into that mode where it goes, I don't care if anything's going to happen, I'm still going to do it. When you get to that point, he's going to blow you away because he knows you ain't going to stop. He's like, all right, now you're ready. Now you're ready. And he will physically touch you. He will physically move you. He will, there'll be, without a shadow of a doubt. But it's challenging. So, you know, you got to take that into mind. Be ready for a challenge. But what else are you doing, guys? What else are we doing? What are we doing here, you know? How many of you have ever asked God to just weigh my heart, God? Weigh my heart. Is there anything grieving you inside of me? Is there anything wrong inside of me that you're not okay with? Do I need to change anything? Do I need to change anything about who I am? Or am I pleasing? Because, you know, he lives here. So if you care about him and your relationship, God, is there something grieving you? Why aren't we there yet? Do I need to change something? Let me know. Let's take a look at the way David prays. King David prays in Psalms. You don't have to turn here because it's going to be quick. Psalms 139, 23, 24. He says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, he says, he's telling God, he's saying, come into my heart and my mind. He's saying, read my thoughts. He's telling the creator of the world to come into my heart and my mind. Read my thoughts. Come look and see what type of opinion I got about Brother Angelo when ain't nobody around inside here. Come see what kind of opinion I've got about Angel. Come see what kind of, see what my heart feels like toward those opinions. See if I reject them, because you know we have that will. We can have that thought, and then we can still have a heart. And we could say, I don't agree with that thought. I don't agree with that. That ain't me. That ain't who I am. I've got a heart of love. I don't accept that. And we realize, and God brings that. That when you meet Jesus, he brings all that to you and shows you how to fix all that. Those thoughts and everything. He changes, gives you something to occupy your time with. But David says, come on, man. Try me. That's why they called David. Kathy, you know who David is? King David was called Jesus, or God's a man after God's own heart. He sang to God. He wrote all the Psalms, all these prayers. If you ever want to learn how to really pray to, like, some powerful prayers in Psalms, there's 190, I think, of them. There's a bunch of beautiful prayers. But he was a man after God's own heart, and he's got a lot of really good knowledge for anybody that wants to pray, like, really good prayers. And they're powerful prayers, powerful prayers. Amen. In Ephesians 3:16, where we're at, we're studying out of Ephesians. I believe that's what Paul is trying to get us to do. He says, in verse 16, he says, that he would grant you, according to the riches in of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Because you're weak without him. You can't do this without him. He says, I pray that you'll be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man, by God's Spirit, when he prays that God will strengthen you. And I believe that that's what he's wanting us to do, is what Paul's or what David's talking about here. Tell him, come on, man, cleanse me. Whatever needs to be done, strengthen me. Strengthen me, Father. In order so the rest of these things can be done, in order so Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. In verse 17, there's so much to unbox there. You know, you got dwell, faith, rooted, grounded in love. You just blow past these, you're never going to get there. These are words that you have to become a word person. That's why I'm reading out of this Bible, because the new version, they changed the words. And if you're serious about receiving the promises of God, you want to know word for word. If you believe in them, if you believe that you can unlock these promises, you want to know exactly what they say. You want the closest version to the scroll. Well, I do. But the word dwell, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. dwell is a living. He wants to live in your heart, a fixed position. He wants to live in your heart, not come and go. A lot of us come and go with Jesus. Amen? And then he says, by faith. This is all happens by faith. Without faith, it never happens. Faith is, yeah, it's the evidence of believing without seeing. That's one thing. I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. But you know it. You know, a lot of people know it. You could preach all week on faith. So that's why it's so important to get in here and figure out what you got to do. There's so much with faith. Faith is like a tool. You have to use this faith until you get the job done. You have to stand in faith, but you ain't always going to have to stand in faith because he's going to give you so much. It becomes a belief system. It becomes a lifestyle. You stand in faith for a moment, whether it's a month, 2 months, and you do all these things that the Word of God tells you to do, right? You do all these things that the Word of God tells you to do. Then God's going to do his part. Because you've done your part, God's going to do his part. So stand in faith. A lot of people, they'll say, well, I do have faith. I've tried that. I've tried prayer. I've tried standing in faith. No, you tried praying and you tried standing in faith by coming to church on Sunday, or you tried standing in faith for a week. That's not standing in faith. Standing in faith says, I'm going to do everything to please you, God, until you move in my life. I'm going to do this. And believing that God's got you, all your worries, everything you're worried about, let it go. When you worry about something, you're disrespecting God and you're not trusting him. You know, you're not standing in faith when you worry. You know, and they're going to come. You say, I can't stop worrying. I've got all this stuff going on. Well, you do your best not to, and he sees that. He sees you doing your best not to. Make sticky notes, and I'll keep preaching sticky notes. You got to have some kind of strategy plan set up because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. It's just not possible without a plan, without some kind of strategy plan set up. If you're really serious, you're going to set something up for your fail, because you know you're going to fail. You've got to fail to succeed. And you know this when you're going in this game. So you play to win, you know. I want my crown, and I'm assuming everybody does. But faith is something that I know a lot of new Christians and a lot of new believers, they really don't grasp the aspect of faith. They believe it's just a knowing. I know that God exists. I know that Jesus died for my sins. And a lot of them believe they can just say, forgive me for my sins before they die. You know, on their deathbed, they're going to heaven. But that's not how this thing works. You've got to become Christ's friend. You've got to become Jesus' friend. You've got to become, know God. Just like I know any one of y'all. Just like I know any one of y'all, you've got to know Jesus. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And the people that stand up here behind this pulpit and the other ones that minister, they're all witnesses to this. So it's worth considering, if nothing else. You know, it's your life. You know, don't gamble with it. Most of us have gave pointless hours and months and years to nothing, to relationships that never lasted, to jobs that we held for 2 or 3 months and what never planning on keeping. You know, you can give God a month of pure faith and pure love and a passionate relationship. And he's telling you what you're going to get out of it, all this. You know? Amen? And that you are rooted. And that you are rooted. How far do your roots go? So you got faith. We'll assume that you got faith, but how far? How far do your roots go down? You know, you got to be rooted in faith. When the wind blows, is it going to knock you over? When one of your friends come over and they say, oh, you're going to church, or oh, you believe in God, what has he ever done for you? Didn't he just let so-and-so's baby die? Wasn't that your so-and-so kinfolk? You know, are they going to pull you away? Or are you going to say, look, man, and start witnessing to them and tell them about what good God has done for you. Because nobody understands anything in this world when it comes to that. This is God's world and we are his people and we're here to serve. And if you want to enter the kingdom, this is the way you got to be. When somebody comes at you like that, you start ministering to them and they'll stay away from you. Or if they don't want to get saved. But by being so bold, your God's not going to leave you hanging. Whether you're a young man, a young woman in school, you stand up for God, He's going to make you the president of that school. He's going to make your enemies at peace with you. He's going to make you rule that school. If you're grown up and you're doing this, He's going to make you the boss at your job. He's going to make them enemies at peace with you. He's going to make them bow down and apologize to you, because that's what He does for His children. He doesn't come up short. This is God we're talking about. Man, He's real. And if He loves you and you love Him, He's got your back better than any home, better than anything. But He wants an authentic relationship. No cupcake Christian. No, He wants you to be ready to give your life for Him. That's the way you go in it. I'm willing to give my life for you, Christ. You gave your life for me. You're the only person that ever done anything for me. You really died for me. When you get this spiritual thing down, you understand that most of us ain't here but for like 60, 70, 80 years. You know, this world starts becoming real small, and eternity starts meaning everything, and you want to see what that's like. And it's real. I stand as a witness, guys. It's real. I've been blessed enough by God to know that it's, I don't know if it's the struggle that I went through or my relationship with God, but He's blessed me enough to be this excited and on fire about Him. I'm telling you, this is real, and I want all of it. You hear me? I want every bit of it. But grounded, He wants you to be rooted. The primary function of being rooted is getting nutrients too. You know, your roots, you need to be in there around Christians. You need to be around people that you can feed off of, that will motivate you to serve God, that will show you how to get little blessings while you're waiting on that big blessing. See, you're waiting on something big. That don't mean you can't have some side stuff going on. That don't mean, and then you got to open doors for Him to bless you. You can't sit in the house all day and go, give me a job, God. You got to get out there and look for a job. You know, you can't say, give me a husband, God, and sit in the house. You got to get out there and find a husband. You got to get out there and move around and let God bless you and open some doors. You can't say, start a business for me, God, give me a business, and you don't have no plan. You got to have a vision board with a business plan and start working toward that plan. And what God does is open those doors. When it comes to a door needing to be open, guess what? It was predestined. All you had to do was do the work. But a lot of people can't believe in themselves like that, and they can't believe in God like that. But when you get to that point, you're going to change your life. And this is what Paul wants you to do here. Anchor. The root's primary function is to anchor a person, to keep you from blowing down, and to help a person in surviving those periods of adversity. Amen? And grounded. Grounded. Paul says you need to be grounded. The definition of this grounded is sensible and balanced out in love. He said grounded in love. So sensible and balanced out in love. Love brings a greater understanding. Love brings forgiveness. You've got to be grounded by love. You've got to ask for it. It don't come naturally. This stuff don't come naturally. This is stuff that comes spiritually from a spiritual God. This is stuff that when you ask for Him and you pray for it, He gives it to you. But you got to have love in your heart. You got to have love to be able to forgive you. All them old tincher tantrums, all them people you see in town, or the people that make you feel funny when you get around them, God, give me the courage to go around them. Give me the courage to speak blessings on their life and really forget them and stop letting them steal space in my head. They're renting space in my head for free. I want them out. I want them out, and if I got to say I love them, I'll say I love them until I do. And you do that, man, you're showing your Creator something. You're showing Him that you mean business. God wants you to be serious and mean business with Him. Paul also says he wants you to know what surpasses. Now, Paul wants, this is why he's doing it. This is why Paul's praying this prayer for you. It's beautiful. This is I love it. He wants you to know what surpasses knowledge. Everything I'm talking to you about surpasses logical knowledge. It all passes logics. You know, God says you got to give to receive. The world tells you got to have five jobs and pinch pennies. You know, you got to love your enemies. The world would tell you to hate your enemies. Keep your enemies close, or keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. God defines all logics. You know, He breaks that whole system down. And this is what Paul wants you to experience this. He wants it to blow your mind to where you go, man, this is wild, this is crazy. Because he knows when you come face to face with Jesus, it's going to change your whole life. It's an experiential knowledge. It's something you experience. And it sheds a whole new light about life on you. You know, he wants you to know what surpasses knowledge. So that's wonderful. Amen. In Hebrews 11:16, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is a rewarder to those who seek him." So when you come to him, believe that he's a rewarder. Know that he's a rewarder. I think that that's why a lot of us get off track and we never really stay with it, because we don't believe in that reward at the end. We don't believe that it's going to be there. And so we do something, we're bored, we do something to keep us busy. We may do it for a little while, and then we just like a workout plan or a diet or whatever, we'll do it for a little while, but it's real easy to let it go because we never really believed in it anyway. Psalms 91. I'm going to turn to Psalms 91. You guys can turn with me if you want. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I want to take a close look at he that dwelleth in the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What's that secret place? What's that secret place he's talking about? You flip to Psalms 31. Verses 20, it says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Paul's talking about he wants you to get to that secret place. He wants you to be in that secret place. It's a secret place where he's got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of godly stuff going on there for his real saints, for his sons and his daughters. He's protecting them in this secret place. And if you can ever get to it with God, it's a habitation. It's when you make God your habitation. It says, I'm going to flip to 91 again in verse 9, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, my habitation." Amen. You know, I believe that all of us, you know, you'd agree with me, you want all these promises in Psalms 91 and throughout this whole Bible. You know, we all want the promises in this Word. You know, but it's a process to get there. These promises are for the one in the secret place. If you can get to that secret place, these promises will be fulfilled. And that's going to take you working hard to get there. That's going to take you taking that challenge, but it's worth it. You know, so if in your heart tonight you're saying, "I've never experienced, you know, those promises. I've heard about them, and I believe them," and you're saved, and you've been born again, and you're saved, and you've been in church and all that, but I've never really had the promises fulfilled in my life. You know, you're saying, "I want those promises. I want what Paul's talking about. I want to be abundantly blessed farther than what I can think, more than what I can imagine. That's what I want." You know, I want you to stand up and I want you to come up here. If that's you tonight, if you want those promises, I want you to come up here. Be bold, and you're not going to get them if you're sitting down. If you want them, come up here. This is for those who believe in the promises and they want to be in that secret place with God, and they're willing to step out in faith and meet God right there where he's at and pray with him every day and seek him with all their heart. Amen. What's up, buddy? We all want those promises, don't we? Amen. Glory be to God. Kelly, you want to help me pray?